anniversary of Martin Luther's nailing the thesis to the wall in Germany, I want to thank God for Martin Luther. And you say, well, we're not Lutherans. No, but you wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for Martin Luther. You wouldn't have been here if it hadn't have been for Calvin and for Huss and for Wycliffe and for all of those people. And they put everything, including their necks and their life, on the line. And they picked up their Bibles and stood against the hierarchy of that day, stood against the people of that day, and risked everything they had so that we could have the freedom in religion that we have today. You could not have understood the scriptures like you have and like you can if you had not had these people walking before you. Luther saw immediately the need for people to have the Holy Scriptures in their hand and in their heart. Until then, people had not, in Europe had not been privileged to have the Bible. It had literally been chained to the pulpit. People did not have them in the libraries. They did not have them at home. And because they did not have access to the Word of God, they lived in a life of spiritual slavery. And the church overpowered them and took away from them all of their wonderful, glorious privileges they should have had in God. And so when Luther saw that the just were saved by faith and lived by faith, and when Luther saw the importance of the Word of God, he immediately did something that was illegal in that day and time. He translated the Bible into German so that the people in Germany could read the scriptures in their own language. Wycliffe and other people translated the Bible into English in Scotland and England so that they could read it. And some of those people were killed for that. They were put in prison and left in stocks and suffered greatly for that. How blessed we are. I'm thankful for Luther and Calvin and Huss and Wycliffe and all those people. And then the people that came after them, the Wesleys and the Whitfields and those people who came, and the Asburys who came riding horseback over hundreds of thousands of miles in this country and in England and in Europe to bring the gospel to people. And Wesley preached two or three or four times every day. He preached in the morning when the people were going out to work in the factories. He would stand on a stump along the road and he would preach to them, and their souls would be saved. I'm thankful for those people who did that. I'm thankful for the prophets' voices who lifted up their voices through the years and brought our people back to the place that they could know God. I'm thankful for the voice of Jonathan Edwards, and it started the great revival in colonial America when he preached on sinners in the hands of an angry God. He preached, preach so hot the people could feel the heat. Literally, people jumped up in the church that day and grabbed the post of the church in New England to keep from falling into the fires of hell because he was preaching. And you say, boy, it must have been dramatic. It was not a dramatic sermon. It was written, folks. It was written. And you can pick up a copy of it and read it most any time, any place that you want to read it. And you say, well, and I have to tell you, you're listening to people like me, and I don't mean to put myself in the same category, but Billy Graham and other people like that preach, you know, got some stuff going on in their sermons. And it was dry. And yet people jumped up and prayed that they wouldn't fall into the fire of hell, prayed that they would be saved. And you say, well, what did it? The Holy Spirit. God's Spirit took the word that Jonathan Edwards was preaching and brought it to the people. Evangelists during the 1800s like Finney and Dwight Moody and Billy Sunday, who preached right here in this community and baptized in Clendon and Branch and stayed back in the resort back here in the mountains. People like Billy Graham, who have let their word go out to the country. And I have to tell you something that Billy said one time. People were saying America's at the crossroads. And Billy Graham said, I don't think America's at the crossroads. I think America is on the wrong road and needs to go back to the crossroads and take the right road. And I have to say amen. Because we've taken the wrong road at the crossroads. We need to go back to the old crossroad or the way called straight. And we need to find our way. I'm thankful for those voices that were lifted to draw us to God. I'm thankful for Jerry Falwell's voice that lent itself to draw us closer to God. I'm thankful for the life of DJ James Kennedy at Carl Gables Presbyterian Church in Florida, who raised his voice against the evils of our time and the evils of the place. I'm thankful for people like John Rawlings in Cincinnati that I got to know and be part of and introduced me to Falwell and those people. I'm thankful for Robert Jeffries. He's the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. He's holding up a standard of righteousness that should make Pentecostals pale almost. It's holding up a standard of righteousness for our country that we need to hear. And I'm thankful for those people in our time and in our age who have lifted up their voices. I'm thankful for our own people. I'm thankful for Granny Effie, Price Cecil, James Heard, those old people that brought the gospel to us, without which we would have been lost. If they had not come, and they were tough. They came to a little squatty church down here. Wasn't big enough to whip a cat in, and the people carried their lanterns. They didn't even have lights in the church. Of course, they didn't have electricity either. And they carried lamps, their lanterns down to light the church, and they came and they heard the gospel, and it changed their lives. And I'm thankful for people that brought the gospel to us, because I don't mind to tell you, my people were making bootleg liquor back here in the mountains and weren't living anything, except my grandmother. And she was praying for God to do something. And I thank God for the people that came and sacrificed themselves. I mean, that family walked from Pembroke down here 3 or 4 days on the Virginian Railroad to bring the gospel to this community. And I thank God that when the gospel got a hold of them, it changed everything in their lives. They stopped making liquor. They went to town and bought paint and glass and fixed the windows and fixed the houses and fixed the floors and changed their whole lifestyle and started coming to church. And I thank God for those people that did that. I thank God for our family's church history and the current generation of warriors that we have today. And I stand up here and preach about the bad stuff and all that, but I have to tell you there's some good stuff going on. I have to tell you there are people going on the mission field. There are people preaching in the streets, there are people preaching to teens, and there are people going to the drug heads and all of those things. And God has got people that are out here getting his work done. And don't throw cold water on anybody that's doing something for God, folks. If they're getting somebody saved, if they're preaching the word, you say, well, they're not like us. Well, I hope everybody in the world's not like us, to tell you the truth. I hope everybody in the world has their own culture and their own way. You can't expect a black church in Alabama to be just like a church in New York City. It's not going to be. But the gospel's going to be the same, and it's going to change people's lives and hearts. And it does. The cultural part of it is not it. So when I come here today, I must say I thank God for us being here. Who we are. We did not get here by ourselves. We got here because we're on stepping stones that got us closer to God and higher all the time. And last of all, but not least of all, most of all, I thank God for sending Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I thank God that he did not spare the fairest jewel of heaven, but he himself came in a human body and into the womb of a virgin. And I have to tell you, I will not accept salvation, a claim of salvation, if you don't believe Christ was born of a virgin. He was virgin born. The Spirit of God came down and upon the Virgin Mary, and Jesus was conceived by the power of that. I thank God that salvation has come by grace, not because we are so good, but because He's so great that He can save us from our sins. I thank God that He has not left us alone in this world, but He sent the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost from heaven, to be with us. We have within us the power to be saved. We have within us the power to keep us. We have within us the power to overcome Satan. And I thank God that He did not leave us in darkness and ignorance, but He gave us His precious word. And I do not believe this is just any old book. I believe this is the word of God, and that God's word will prevail. And my brothers and sisters, when I look at the Psalms 107, but I look at the others, thank God, thank God. Oh, that men would thank God for His goodness and His marvelous mercies to the children of men. How good God is. Thank you for participating today and telling us what you're thankful for. There's so many things that I have to be thankful for. And I'm thankful that when I come to know Jesus and realize my salvation was by grace, and the Holy Spirit came in my life, and I read in the Holy Bible, I realize that I don't have to worry about being locked in this world forever. But one day, and very soon, I'm going to escape from this world. Jesus is going to come. He may call me home before He comes, but He's coming. And when He comes, my friend, we're going to be redeemed. Amen. What a great God. And I pray that as you go through the rest of this weekend and enter into the season, that we will be celebrating the coming of the Lord. You say you're going to celebrate Christmas? Call it anything you want to, but I call it the coming of the Lord into the world. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I celebrate His coming. You can decorate a tree if you want to. You can put up a wreath if you want to. You can light a candle if you want to. But whatever you do, don't forget Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the one who came, and I thank God today that He redeemed us and saved us. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Would you stand? And I tell you what, let's sing a cappella, would you? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Father, I pray that as we leave this place today and we go our separate ways, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will go with us and keep us and sanctify us and use us to Your glory. Some of us will be traveling on the highway, and I pray for safety and that You'll watch over us. And Father, if there's any of us here today who are not saved and do not know for sure that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will You touch that life? Will You touch that spirit? And Father, let the benediction of Your grace and Your love be upon all Your people today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I will be preaching.